Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. It is the eve of the draft, the NFL draft, tomorrow night, round one, starts at 8 p.m. On the line with us, longtime draft analyst of the NFL, the publisher of DraftInsider.net. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. He is with us right now, Tony Pauline. Tony, thanks very much for coming on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
These teams are down to the short strokes now with just, 24 hours or less before they start taking names off the board. Give us your latest info on the Buffalo Bills and what they might be looking at tomorrow night.
Well, from what I hear, you know, there's rumors out there that they could take, or you've seen a lot of mocks that they could take Ryan Nassib, the quarterback from Syracuse with the eighth pick of the draft. I'm hearing from league insiders the vast majority would be surprised if they go in that direction that early in the draft. In fact, people have told me that Nassib may not be their top quarterback, and that's something I reported after the Senior Bowl. I hear that Doug Marrone really favors E.J. Manuel of Florida State for a number of reasons. He'd do a better job at running the read option, which Marrone tried at Syracuse with Nassib. He's got better physical skills. He's got a better arm than Nassib. And, you know, you're going to need somebody with a strong arm to get that ball to cut through the winds of Rich Stadium in the months of November, December. I think Manuel comes with more downside risk when you compare it to Nassib. He's not as NFL ready, but if you can coach him correctly and you can get him throwing with fundamentally sound mechanics and making proper decisions, I mean, you're going to have a franchise quarterback there for the next decade.
Yeah, many people think that E.J. Manuel also comes with more upside, more potential, the ability to get better once he gets settled into an offense. Do you believe that?
I think, you know, the argument can be made that E.J. Manuel has more upside than any quarterback in this draft, whether that be Geno Smith, whether that be Mike Glennon. I mean, you look at his physical skills, his arm strength is better, on a par, better than any quarterbacks in this draft. You look at him compared to Glennon. I mean, Glennon is your prototypical pocket passer with limited mobility, not E.J. Manuel. I mean, he's a guy who can make plays with his legs. He can throw the ball inside the pocket. If you want to move the pocket or roll him outside, really, he can easily get the ball down the field with a flick of his wrist. So when you look at it from a physical point of view, I think, you know, the case can be made that Manuel has the greatest amount of upside of all the signal callers.
Hey, Tony, is eighth overall too soon to draft E.J. Manuel or Ryan Nassib, for that matter?
In my book, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But then again, I thought that the eighth pick of the draft was too early to select Jake Locker, and he went that early. I would be surprised if the Buffalo Bills take a quarterback that early. I would assume that, you know, they've learned from the mistakes, or the teams have learned from the mistakes of the Jake Lockers and the Christian Ponders. Quarterbacks are always overdrafted, and this is not a good quarterback draft. It's not a poor quarterback draft that everyone's making out to be, but it's not a good one, especially when you're drafting in the top half of round one.
You know, the Bills sit there at number eight, and I'm wondering if in the perfect world for the Buffalo Bills, they find a team that's looking to move up in the draft to get, you know, who knows, maybe one of those offensive tackles is out there at number eight, or maybe somebody's in love with Tavon Austin. Maybe the Bills can sit there at eight and watch the seconds tick off and make a good deal for themselves to move down a little bit, huh?
I think if Lane Johnson slides to the eighth slot, the Bills will be in a prime location to trade down. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know that Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, is going to fall that far. He could go be the fourth pick. He could also be the fifth pick. But like you said, if Johnson falls, I mean, the Bills, I think, will have options with San Diego, with a couple of other teams who in the middle of round one who want to get up and get the left tackle. Tavon Austin is another, you know, interesting, intriguing prospect. He's really one of the only true playmakers at the receiver position, polished playmakers in this draft. You know, he also brings the element of game-returning specialist. I reported yesterday that the Jets are looking for a threat on offense, which leads me to believe that they are looking at Tavon Austin. So if a team gets wind of that, they want to move up to get Austin. Again, the Bills could be in prime position to move down.
Are you saying that you think those three tackles, Jokel, Fisher, and Johnson, are going to be gone in the first five, like many people think?
Absolutely. I've thought that for the longest time. I mean, Jokel and Fisher, I think, was a given. I think Lane Johnson, as I had been reporting the past couple of weeks, people have told me that they think 2 or 3 years down the road, Johnson could actually be the best tackle to come from this draft. When you look at his size, you look at his athleticism, you look at the fact he's only played the tackle position for 2 years, played left tackle for 1 year, and the way he progressed on the field in Oklahoma's passing offense last year, they just think the sky is the limit with this guy. You just have to be patient, you just have to be coached correctly, You know, in an NFL weight training program, he can be a sensational player down the road. And then you look at Philadelphia, the type of offense they're going to run under Chip Kelly. You know, they're going to want their offensive linemen to be athletic and be able to move. You know, you look at Detroit, who really wants to, really needs to protect their quarterback from the blind side, especially with Backus getting long in the tooth. So I think he's going to be gone early.
Hey, Tony, I looked at your website about E.J. Manuel just earlier today, the website draftinsider.net. And on E.J. Manuel, one thing I thought that either you or one of your guys wrote was a little development in his senior year. Didn't really progress as much in his senior year as maybe people thought he would. You tell me about that.
Well, let's go back. When I wrote an article, a preview article for SI.com back in August, and I think E.J. Manuel was my third or fourth rated quarterback, and I said at that point that if he had a monster senior year, a big senior year, a Kerry Collins type of senior year, and really pulled it together, he would be a top 15 choice. He really didn't do that. I mean, there was really not a whole lot of elevation or a lot of improvement in his game between his junior and senior campaigns, which is why, you know, people are guessing right now late first round, and people like myself are saying early first round is a reach. Had he shown that improvement, the consistent, proper decision-making, throwing with consistent mechanics, there's no doubt in my mind he's top 15 worthy.
Can the Buffalo Bills wait until the second round to get their quarterback? I mean, would Manuel or Ryan Nassib or somebody else be there when they pick 41st overall?
It's going to be it might be a little bit tight. I mean, what may happen is as we've seen in the past, as you get deep into round one, you know, some of those teams like San Francisco, like Baltimore, may want to get out of the first frame and would be willing to trade down for to a team early in the second round who wants to trade up and get Nassib or Manuel. So it's going to be kind of tight. They may be able to do it. They may not. I'm going to say it's about 50-50 right now.
Talking with Tony Pauline, longtime NFL draft analyst, the publisher of DraftInsider.net. You can read his stuff at SI.com, USAtoday.com. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. On the website, Tony, you wrote about the New York Jets the other day that they are going to look for a weapon. What are they talking about, a quarterback? Are they talking about Tavon Austin?
Well, I kind of assumed it's Tavon Austin. I also understand that they may be looking at a quarterback early. I think the Jets, you look at their recent draft history, it's been defensive heavy. I mean, defensive lineman the past 2 years, Kyle Wilson, the cornerback before that. They've got holes all over the field, but they got holes on the offensive line. They got holes at quarterback. They really don't have a game-breaking receiver. Santonio Holmes, this is probably his last year, and a lot of people wonder what he has left in the tank. So I think it's going to be an offensive-heavy draft for the New York Jets. Personally, I think they'll take one of the offensive guards, either Chance Warmack or Jonathan Cooper, who's the better fit for that offense, with the ninth pick. It just remains to be seen at 13. Do they take a quarterback? Do they take Tavon Austin if he's still available? You know, do they trade down with so many holes on that roster?
Yeah, the Jets are interesting for a variety of reasons here in Buffalo, Tony. I mean, they pick right after the Bills at number 9 in the first round, and then they pick 13th and 39th. The Jets are going to have 3 picks in between Buffalo's first and second round picks as the board is situated right now. In that sense, the Jets, I think, have become almost a boogeyman for the Bills' draft plans over the next few days.
Could be, especially in that second round. Just go back to that question you asked me before. I mean, if the Bills don't get their quarterback in round one, will they be able to get their quarterback in round two? Maybe not if the Jets are, you know, since the Jets are drafting before Buffalo in round two, because from what I understand, both teams like E.J. Manuel, and I know for a fact the Jets like Ryan Nassib very much. So the Jets, if they don't take a quarterback in round one, I don't know that they're going to. I mean, they're sitting there in front of the Bills in round two. They could swipe the signal caller off the board.
Hey, Tony, I want to ask you about, you know, risers and fallers on this eve of the draft. And one guy that, you know, if you asked me a month ago who the Bills might get at number one, I probably would have mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson, the Tennessee wide receiver. Why the drop in his draft stock in the last couple of weeks or so?
Well, a couple of things. I was never very high. I was never on the Cordarrelle Patterson bandwagon. Number one, I mean, he's a bit undeveloped in his game. He doesn't have a big body of work. He's a great athlete learning to be a football player. You just don't take that type of guy, you know, in the top 15 selections of round one. Or if you do, you realize it's coming with a lot of risk. Now, you factor in, I mean, he's never been known as the sharpest tool in the shed. There were some questions about the interviews, both at the combine and during pro day workout. And I think that he's just very undeveloped in a lot of ways, both on the field and off the field. You know, you watch his film, it was more spotty than it was consistent. So all the people who thought he was going to be a top 10 pick, I just never saw it. It was, he didn't have the Calvin Johnson or the Justin Blackman types of skills where, you know, he would be a game-breaking, game-controlling receiver on a consistent basis. So I think what really happened is people on the outside just read too much or fell in love with Patterson a little bit too much.
What do you think happened? I mean, what do you think happened to Geno Smith after the combine, after his pro day workout, early to mid March? You know, people were in love with Geno Smith. Is his stock dropping, do you think?
Well, it's all relative to where you thought his stock was before those things. Now, when I did my film work on Geno Smith, I sent out a tweet that said I had just watched a half a dozen games on him, and while he's a good quarterback, there's no way I was taking this guy with the first pick of the draft. And that's when everyone thought that Kansas City was a no-brainer, he was going to take him. I think when you look at Smith, you see a guy that's got great upside. He's got the arm to make all the throws in the NFL. He's got the athleticism to play in a variety of schemes. There are a lot of questions about his decision-making or his ability to read defense. I'm going to say this decision-making because that may sound, you know, sort of scandalous, but his ability to read defenses, correctly find his man, it doesn't always seem on the same page as his receivers. I think his mechanics need some polishing because the ball can be all over the place. Listen, he's a lesser version of E.J. Manuel in the sense that he has great upside, probably not as much as E.J. Manuel, but he also comes with downside risk. Again, not as much as E.J. Manuel.
And one more quarterback I want to ask about and whether his stock is dropping a bit, Matt Barkley from USC. Are we talking about him as a second rounder now?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. There's no doubt his stock was dropping. I mean, you know, if we had this conversation a year ago and you said, Tony, who was going to be the top quarterbacks for the 2013 draft, Matt Barkley would be the first one I mentioned. I mean, heck, had he entered the 2012 draft, he would have been the third quarterback off the board, a top 10 selection. Bad senior season, just some bad decision-making. His accuracy seemed to leave him during the 2012 campaign. Had some problems with the offensive line, so it wasn't totally his fault. Then he has a shoulder injury in the last game or the last regular season game of the year against interstate opponent UCLA. You add all those things up, and when you got that sort of player at the quarterback position who really is heading in the wrong direction, it's not good for his draft stock.
And how about risers? Who's coming up the draft board, do you think, Tony?
I think DJ Fluker, the tackle, offensive lineman from Alabama, is going to be selected much earlier than people expect. He could fit into the top 12. Cornelius Tank Carradine of Florida State, a guy who really wasn't a starter at the beginning of the season, was forced into the starting lineup after his teammate Brandon Jenkins went down with a Lisfranc injury in his foot the first game of the year. He came in, really showed big-time NFL potential as a three-down defensive end of the 4-3 alignment. Had a great workout last Saturday, just 135 days away from knee surgery. And he was a guy, Carradine, who, if he played out his senior season injury-free, he's probably a top 10 pick. He could still end up in the top 15 selections because of the skills that he showed before his injury and the workout he had last Saturday after his injury.
Last year, 19 trades in the first round of the draft. Do you anticipate that kind of craziness or maybe another kind of craziness in tomorrow night's first round, Tony?
I don't think there's going to be 19, but I think there's, you know, there will be a good number of trades. I mean, you start off with number three. I've heard if any of the tackles are available at number three to the Oakland Raiders, they will trade back to five where the Detroit Lions will move up and take either Joakim or Fisher, whoever is available. You know, you got the Miami Dolphins there who are, you got to wait and see if they sign Brandon Albert, the free agent from Kansas City tackle. That would take one of their needs off the board, and then they're still sitting there with multiple picks in the third round and a second round pick. Maybe they move up to get Dee Milliner, a cornerback, to fill another need. I don't think there'll be 19 trading around, but I think there'll be a decent amount of movement.
Going to be fun. Tony, thank you very much for coming on with us tonight to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauline, longtime NFL draft analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. He's the publisher of DraftInsider.net. We've got more to come, including your phone calls. We'll hear what you think about tomorrow night's round one of the rest of the draft when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.